Hi, everyone. Cindy Olin here with Create Your Own Luck and Love. I am super excited to introduce my very special guests, Scott and Emily McKay. They're returning guests, so many of you guys know who they are anyway, and from past events that we've collaborated on together. So today, you guys, you know, one of the things you'll definitely want to do is maybe grab a notebook, a pen, take some notes, grab a warm tea, coffee, whatever your drink of choice is, and whatever Scott said.
Alcoholic beverages.
Alcoholic, non-alcoholic, whatever it is, you guys. desire. And today, this is, we're lightening up a little, but we're going to talk about connectivity when it comes to dating, relationship, what that is, what that looks like. And it's not really about communication outwardly, where you might think that it is. It's more about unspokenness and, you know, understanding the other person and connecting with oneself so that one can identify a truly good fit for them. So you guys are going to love this. I love these guys. I always love our conversations. They're deep and so on point. So welcome, you guys. I'm so excited you're here today.
Thank you. I like my conversations with her too. They're always very deep.
Well, who wouldn't like a conversation with Emily? She's adorable, smart, and amazing.
Everything. I have too many adjectives.
The whole package. Yeah. And
y'all are so sweet. Very kind.
Embarrassed is the latest adjective to add. Yes.
Awesome. So,
and obviously.
Yeah, and she's superhuman. She has a superhuman shoulder going on.
Yes.
We call her Wonder Woman as well. If you guys didn't know this about Scott and Emily, they're into BMX racing, right? Yes. Is that how your injury happened?
Yeah, I managed to crash my bike pretty hard and land on the shoulder and did some damage to the rotator cuff.
So now she's doing this all high tech tape like James Harden from the Houston Rockets. She's running around looking like
right.
Healing fast.
Yeah, doing a great job.
And a great attitude too. I love it. So anyway, let's talk about connectivity. What is that? Scott, I would love to hear your opinion around what connectivity means when it comes to dating and relationship between individuals.
Well, you know what's funny is people oftentimes they'll read the dating books and they'll get into dating science and everything starts sounding so wonkish and techy. Like what you're trying to do when you meet someone is build rapport. To me, the word rapport is like youth. No kid has ever called him or herself a youth. You know, it's something that the police talk about. Read youth or suspected of this, you know, area use. Rapport is a word nobody ever uses in conversation. Nobody ever goes on a date and goes, oh my goodness, you and I are sharing wonderful rapport right now on this date, aren't we? And the person's going to go, you know, I think I have an emergency call from my babysitter. You know, it's not something people really know what it means. It's not something people really do. And what I think they're trying to reach for when they talk about rapport is, you know, I am finding something in common with you. We're finding common ground. We're building this way, this bridge between each other.
Right.
And I think that really cheapens the more important and more user-friendly idea of connection.
Yeah.
Because couples can have gone to the same university, they can have the same favorite band, they can both
same
love
same birthday,
yeah. Both like pistachio ice cream, and if they're not attracted to each other and they're not interested in each other, none of that really matters. Mm-hmm. Now, after you're already attracted to someone, then when you find out, oh my God, we go to the same university, oh my God, we both like pistachio ice cream, it's almost like God sent you to each other. But that's a cart before the horse if you're just trying to force rapport ahead of time. Connection to me comes from three areas. First of all, are you comfortable around each other? Are you relaxed around each other? Are you kind of, is there a tension? Is there a wedge there? So that's the first step. The second one is, and this should seem so obvious, you know, do you like each other? I mean, I think a lot of guys in particular, I don't know, maybe women can feel this way too. They're sitting in front of someone they're on a first date with, and my gosh, they're hot. They look great. They're rooting for this person to connect with them, but no, it's just not happening. You don't either feel safe and relaxed around each other, or assuming that happens, you're not interesting to each other. You don't like each other. You're not getting along. But it's the third leg to this tripod, if you will, that I think really turns all of that into a connection, because that you haven't connected yet. If you're just comfortable with each other and you like each other, that's great. But the connection comes when you get each other. When you realize this other person is one of me. We're on the same team. We think alike. We are in rhythm together as human beings. Our vibe, our energy, whatever you want to call it, it is really in synchronicity. You know, this person is literally someone I connect with, like two Lego blocks. We're already kind of together on things.
Yeah, the desires, the feelings, the emotions are in sync.
Right. It's like, I've known you for 10 minutes, but it feels like 10 years. Mm-hmm. That is what true connection looks like. And of course, it deepens over time.
So I hear you on that. And what if one person is feeling that way, and maybe the other person doesn't necessarily share that? How does one identify true connection, right? I mean, I feel like that's...
You want to handle that one?
Sure.
I think you've been on enough of those dates before. You could probably knock this one out of the park.
It's like going on a date, and the one person likes it, and the other one, and you're not feeling it for them.
Right.
And that's uncomfortable for both people who are experiencing that, because the person who's head over heels and think we make this wonderful connection is, you know, crushed when they realize the other person isn't feeling the same way in return. And that comes from a misunderstanding of what really is happening in the interaction between the two people.
100%.
And at the same time, when you have someone on a date and they like you, but you're not feeling that attraction, even if you want to feel it, that's difficult too, because you know at some point you're going to have to tell them, I'm really sorry, but I'm just not your girl, or I'm just not your guy. And you know they're going to be hurt by this. And that's not fun.
One time she told me she was just not my guy, and I was crushed.
But
she's not your guy.
No.
I'm not your guy.
She can't do that for me. She could do almost anything else, but she can't be my guy. She can't do that.
Right.
So
I guess, go ahead, Emily. I don't want to interrupt you.
No problem. So what it is you have people misreading the communication or the connection. Someone's not understanding the clear signals that it's not working out. And a lot of it comes from, I want this to happen so badly, I'm not paying attention.
Boom. Yeah. And there's another layer I can add on to this. This is what we do. We bounce off each other because we get each other. We connect. It also depends on dating experience, expectations, and level of desperation, and how few truly good dates you've gone on lately. And that's something we can talk about in depth, Cindy, because I think the more connectable of a person you are, the more you start seeing a pattern of connection on dates. And I think sometimes when someone is super connectable and they have someone on a date in front of them who is not like that and who hasn't gone on a whole lot of successful dates lately because they're not that kind of person. I think sometimes psychologically, the person who is hyper connectable, or at least very connectable, and again, I can define all this.
Yeah.
Carries both of them.
Totally. Like
they carry the date for both people because they're just super cool, you know? And that's what I'm sure has happened to you before. Like this guy goes, oh my God, she's so sweet, so kind, so level-headed and beautiful.
Great conversation.
And you know, she's not batshit crazy, and she's, you know, really down to earth, and she likes men. This is the greatest connection I've ever had. No, it's she's just the most connectable woman you've been with in a while, and it seems like that level that she brings, that energy she brings, is enough to carry both of you. But see, She may have been on 10 dates like that since last Thursday.
Right.
And it may be your first date that even seemed like it was positive in 2 years, depending on who you are and where you are in this whole continuum of being a connectable person.
Right. Right. So that depending. Yeah. So what makes a more connectable individual?
I thought you'd never ask.
Sure. Well, the first one is being warm and friendly and making the other person feel at ease. So let's say you're going on a first time date, or, you know, you've been on a few dates, and it's a little, it's always nerve-wracking for everybody because you have these expectations and you're wanting it to work out and you don't want to mess it up and you don't want food all over your face and you want everything to turn out perfect, but you got to find a way to be calm and relax. And your goal is to help the other person succeed at enjoying the evening. And if you can accomplish that by coming prepared to carry some conversation, you know, think of some simple questions that would be relaxing, not, are we going to get married or what's your goals? It's not an interview.
The interview question.
No, something
the
simple.
New York first meeting.
Yeah. I always say, you know, when's the last time you looked at the clouds and what shape was it? You know, something easygoing like that actually keeps the conversation going, helps the other person relax so that you can move on to step number two.
And that's rare. See, that little bit, that little tiny sliver that she just suggested of, why don't you come on a date and be warm and friendly instead of all, you know, wadded up in nerves and help the other person relax. That's one person out of 50 that who you'll ever date. But see,
right. I think that, you know, I can't agree more. So it's being lighthearted, you know, and
that's one thing.
And also, you know, opening up to breaking the ice, like, you know, wow, this is, I know these things can be a little uncomfortable and feel like a lot of pressure, right? You know, and, you know, we're two human beings having a human experience. Like,
right. That's right.
Tell me what you're excited about in your life. I think that, you know, one of the things I hear this a lot, and you guys probably do too, is like, what are some great conversations to have on a first meeting?
We know all the wrong ones.
So tell me a couple of the wrong ones.
Let's go back to being connectable, because I only gave you one, but I don't want to lose the concept of that. Because to be honest, to be completely fair to Emily, this is my info product I'm building for guys, where this term's coming from. So let me go ahead and flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah.
I believe that I've come to the realization, I think it's really hard to refute, okay? I know that here I am, the guy who came up with it, but hear me out. I believe there's what I call archetypal attraction traits. I think there are things that human beings can do, or traits that they can have going for them, that everybody wants in their future spouse. Everybody. Unless there's something wrong with them. And Emily hit on one of them, which is me. No, I'm kidding. Emily hit on one of them, which is being warm and friendly. Well, that's actually two. People who are cold and icy and distant. No one has ever said, you know, I would love a cold, icy, distant wife. Man, that would just be the best.
That would make a great connection.
Yeah. You know, everybody wants someone warm. Everybody wants someone like that.
Totally.
Kind and friendly. Who wants a mean, nasty, black-hearted, surly person? You know, man, I would just love to have a mean, nasty, surly person for a wife. That would just be great.
Well, the thing about it, to connect is to connect with somebody who mirrors yourself. And so no one views themselves as cold and icy and rude.
And they're not connectable either, see, because those are archetypal attraction traits. Other ones, you know, I think we all want someone who's level-headed, not psychotic and not in our reality with us. Most of us, I'd say most everybody, even people who are boring, don't want someone boring. They want someone fun. People want to have fun. They don't want to be bored. They don't want to be, you know, they want someone who's positive, not someone who's negative. These are things that if you have those traits going for you, nearly everybody, if not everybody, will be more attracted to you because of them. Archetypal attraction traits. things that are not archetypal attraction traits are oftentimes the things that are our go-to standards when we consider what makes us attractive. That's the great irony here. For example, looks. Different people have different types. Different people like different people who have different styles, cultural background, even finances. I mean, I know guys who – I've coached guys who are 100 millionaires, and they have a hard time – not just because the women are in it for the money, but because women don't want anything to do with them. It's like that lifestyle intimidates them. I'm just a simple girl. I don't need a 100 millionaire. You know, right. I just want a little white picket fence and drive a Honda around. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. You scare me. So those aren't even archetypal attraction traits. But what happens is when you line up all these little ducks in a row that I call archetypal attraction traits, you become more connectable to a greater variety of people. So let's say, for example, a woman goes out on a date, and she's warm and she's friendly. And another one likes and appreciates the gender of person she's trying to attract or he's trying to attract. And by the way, that's regardless of sexual orientation. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I
think that's a really strong point because yes. I think that some women and men both – feel like, oh, they like the opposite sex, but find themselves saying, well, I can't find anyone, you know, all the good men are taken, or, you know, men out there don't want to commit, or,
yes.
And they're languaging that. And then, of course, the universe, God, whatever, shows evidence of that, mm-hmm. Right?
And so they attract.
Those limiting thoughts and beliefs. So if you genuinely appreciate the person in front of you, regardless of where they're at in their life, I believe that every human being has great lovable qualities. Even, you know, I was actually having a conversation with a woman earlier today. We were talking about, you know, she goes, well, don't you think there's some people that are just not lovable, not likable? You know, what about Hitler? I said, frankly, even Hitler had some lovable qualities about him, although there's obviously a lot of mass destruction that happened and a lot of sickness, right? But anyways, continue with what you were saying around
optimism and generosity. You know, you just talked about optimism, basically. Optimism would be an archetypal attraction trait. Do you want a pessimistic partner? Who in the world wants a pessimistic partner? Who wants someone who thinks that, you know, but this is where jealous streaks come from. You start thinking the worst of your partner instead of the best of your partner. I don't think any of us say, I want a jealous, pessimistic partner who thinks I'm out to get them all the time. No, we want an optimistic person. Yes, there were,
Trusting.
Trusting, yes. So, you know, someone you can trust and someone who's trustworthy. No one says, I want a dishonest, non-trustworthy partner. That is an archetypal attraction trait. I said generosity. People who are narcissistic manipulators are really good at finding people pleasers who will never stop trying to earn their approval. But that's twisted and it's broken. I think at the baseline level, we want someone who's generous. We want someone, if we give to them, they're not going to take and demand more. Let's put it this way. Everybody likes a generous person, even a narcissistic manipulator, right?
Sure.
Other optimistic.
They really love them.
Oh, I know, right. All of these are archetypal attraction traits. So right. What happens is when you go on a date and you're a woman and you really like and appreciate men and you expect the best of them and you're generous and you're kind-hearted and you're fun and, you know, things like being healthy, you know, regardless of where we are in our personal health, I think we'd all like to be healthier.
Right.
Being healthy is preferable to just about everybody. The more of those traits you have going for you when you go on a date, the more you're going to find people are attracted to you. I have dated several women, including her, who couldn't go on second and third dates without guys going, I better lock this woman down. I got to go buy a ring and propose marriage, and we need to get on with this, or else some guy's going to swoop in and get her because she's a unicorn. I got to the point where I was dating. I had dated several women who have that problem, which, of course, provides great consternation to women who experience lots of commitment phobes.
Right.
But see, you know, that's where the truth kind of hurts. If, right, if you get a train of commitment.
That's the mirror.
Yes. And I mean, because, you know, listen, this isn't gender specific. There are guys who go out and they just don't like women. They're just horny. They think women are life support systems for their vaginas, and they're losing out on a lot of attractive traits that women would universally find attractive. Or they're, you know, all wadded up and they haven't had their testosterone checked, and they're mean and they're surly and they're just not very nice to the waiter, or they're god-awful boring. And then these guys come to me and go, I've tried to go out with all these women, but they're all horrible and they're all mean to me, and women are just, they just suck. Every time I go out to women, I can't connect with any of them. Well, no, you can't. But meanwhile, they don't understand the idea that there's another guy out there, and he's been on 10 dates this week, and the women were all giddy for him and just couldn't wait to go out with him again.
Right.
And it's because of what I'm talking about. The more connectable you are, yes, you're going to not only attract people who are more like you, but you're also going to be more attractive to a wider variety of people who want to be near you. And then you'll also have more choice. And when you have more choice, you feel less desperate. That in turn makes you more attractive, because another one of the archetypal attraction traits is confidence. You know, nobody wants a person who lacks self-confidence. No one wants a person who lacks self-respect or self-esteem either. Self-respect, self-esteem, self-confidence, all of these traits, what happens is they're like little pebbles you throw on a pile, and the next thing you know, you've just got a mountain of connectability going on. These are things people want to connect with. These are things that when you find a person who's like you, the connection will be strong and powerful and positive because you're all together. Now I'm going to let her talk, because that's everything from my new book.
I love it. So with that, you know, like, how does one shift from being someone that isn't connecting or connectable, right? I mean, I can, you know, what I've experienced is a shift with clients as they start becoming more aware of, you know, their thinking, their thought process, their self-criticism and judgment, which obviously goes to the outer world as well, into judgment out there. What are your thoughts around that, Emily?
Well, they have to be very aware of what they're doing in the relationship, whether it's initially or in a long-term relationship, because we all contribute 50% of what's going on.
Agreed.
Ideally.
And so if you're having the same thing happen over and over and over again, then the great thing about that is the common denominator is ourself. So that means
pattern, yeah.
That can be fixed. So we have to kind of delve into what's causing that. You know, am I, what's causing the guys to be turned off by me? Am I asking the wrong questions? Am I showing signs of jealousy? There's all kinds of things that would be off-putting. And trying to look into your character traits and think about all the things that guys want in another person, or for that matter, it's the same thing that we want in men. You know, someone who's going to treat us kindly and wonderfully and make us feel like we're standing on top of the world. Well, we want that, and the guy we're looking for is going to want that. So what are we doing that's falling short of that, that's causing these things to happen? So we're going to have to look at ourselves from an honest perspective. And that's difficult. And sometimes if we see ourselves, it's quite unpleasant and uncomfortable. And then to have to change and make an adjustment takes some work and time and patience and love.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about while you were talking is none of what we're talking about here is gender specific. So you can't hang this on an excuse of, I don't understand men, or I don't understand women, or we're both from different planets. Hey, men are from Earth and women are from Earth. Okay. Everything we're talking about here, all the attractive traits that allow us to connect, they're human. They're not necessarily male or female. Now, we could talk about masculinity and femininity, but see, I believe masculinity and femininity are simply, maybe not easily, but simply the building blocks of sexual attraction. So once the sexual attraction is there, then it's the human things that are going to allow us to connect and like each other and trust each other, feel comfortable around each other, and help us feel like, you know, she's one of me. Now, see, the reason why the archetypal attraction traits, remember I just talked about attraction, the reason why they're tied to connection is because the more of those traits we share, the more we're going to want to be like each other, the more we're going to feel at home with that. Because I don't think people like meeting another surly person and being surly to each other. It's kind of like Emily said, they throw a blanket over that and pretend it doesn't exist. It's like, you know, la, 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 la. I know I'm a problem. I don't want to change it. I don't want to deal with it. So right. The answer to your baseline question is, you know, understand that if you have more of these attraction traits that everybody wants, you're going to have more connection on dates. And if you're not connecting on dates, you're not attracting people, it's time to figure out what can I do in the self-work department to make some more of those things be evident in my life.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going into a date or a meeting with someone with no expectation, but going to meet a new human that mm-hmm. could be, you know, all humans have amazing traits, right? And instead of going and walking in and going, oh, he doesn't look like his picture. Right? Or whatever.
Sad trombone.
Or she gained 20 pounds, or whatever the thought process is. Going in with a positive attitude, being present, pleasant, no matter what, right?
And absolutely. And without having to force our ideas and our dreams onto one person and making them become that person.
And when you're connectable, you don't need to set expectations, because every date, every potential opportunity with someone isn't like life or death or I have to start all over again.
Right.
You know, the more connectable you are, the more options you have, the more you relax, the more confident you are, the more you can just take things as they come. If it doesn't
work out. Abundantly and having faith that the right person is going to come to me. It's happening. It's a matter of time. And I'm connecting with other amazing people for a reason. I mean, maybe one guy that you connect with is a tennis pro and teaches tennis and you've always wanted to learn and you don't feel romantic attraction, but heck, you hire him for tennis instructions. I mean, you never know. And I think that's where people can oftentimes fall short, because they're thinking, well, what's in it for me?
Right.
You know,
I think the opposite happens too. I think sometimes people have this prepackaged, very rigid, dogmatic image of who this person's going to be. You know, I want a man who wears Armani suits. And then the guy, well, this happened to someone we work with. She just started dating someone who's a former bull rider. And she goes, I never in my life pictured myself dating a bull rider
right.
from the rodeo. Okay. I mean, it's like a Garth Brooks song, you know, just manifested itself in my life.
Sure.
But, you know, they connect on every level, and she realizes, hey, you know, this is kind of fun. What he's into, you know, maybe I'm not as the Armani suit girl I thought I was. Maybe the cowboys kind of, I'm sort of realizing this is fun. This lifestyle isn't, you know, I'm along for the ride and didn't even realize I would be.
Right.
You know, Emily couldn't spell BMX when I met her. And now here we are with an RV, you know, camping trailer going around the United States. And that was the last thing that was on my mind for much of my adult life.
Right.
But because we connect, and because I know that she and I get along on most everything, when she brings something to the table and I go, I don't know, I can almost trust the fact that if I try it, I'll like it. Because after all, we connected.
Right.
You see what I mean? So, I mean, our travels, what we're into, our hobbies, even the cuisine that we've shared with each other and the pastimes and things we've tried, we both usually like what the other one brings to the table, even if it's something that we've resisted our whole life, because we can trust we're on the same team. We get along on just about everything, so stop being stubborn and give it a shot.
Yeah.
And we've enriched each other that way, you know. Sometimes people are going to meet and they're just not on the same wavelength, and that's okay. You know, sometimes people just don't connect. I mean, as much as I connect with my wife, I can think of people that I know in my social circle or a couple in particular I know, you know, professionally, who, if they were my girlfriend, Cindy, they would drive me nuts. I would just go nuts if this person was, I would just go kill myself or something.
Right.
But, you know, they all these people have a significant other who just loves them.
Yeah.
That's because that's their connection and that's cool. They don't have to all be like me. They don't all have to think like me. And yet when you have more of these archetypal attraction traits, all you're doing is you're increasing the odds that all of that baseline stuff that we all want won't stand in the way of you finding that someone you uniquely connect with.
Yes. Like the couple we saw on the train.
Yes. Right.
What was that?
They were quite unique.
Right. Yeah. We were on the Trans-Siberian Railway.
Uh-huh. To Mongolia.
And this couple came on the train and they were backpackers and we had to meet them because they were the cutest couple ever. They looked exactly alike. They were both dressed like total, like, what's the word I'm looking for? They looked like total backpackers.
Right? Dreadlocks and blonde hair.
Right. And not emo, but like adventure emo dressed.
Right. I get it.
And they both had dreadlocks tied in a knot and both had blonde hair and blue eyes. They looked more like brother or sister, but you could tell they weren't. And they were into exactly the same things. And they were both on this dirty, sweaty train ride where they were going to stink at the end of the week. But they're, you know, and they looked happier than two pigs in a pig pen. And they just loved each other, and they were from a Scandinavian country, if yes. I remember correctly. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I mean,
they must have seen each other and went, I hope I really get along with you. And then they got along, and they were like, oh my gosh, we're like, and so I mean, nice. They just went, my honey, and then they left. And
right.
I don't have eyes for anybody else. And it was just such a striking example of two people getting each other. I even visually, you could just tell.
You know, I didn't always make a connection with everybody. A great example is not getting each other. Cause I can look at Scott and a lot of times we'll, you know, there's a topic going on the news or something. And we automatically know what the other person's thinking.
Yes.
Or he'll say something. I'm like, I was just thinking that. I just didn't say it. But for example, there's been times where I didn't connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this, I was on a date with another guy. And we're on a boat and we're trying to figure out how to open, or he's trying to figure out how to open this can, or I think he wanted to figure out what to cook it in. We're going to cook it in the can or do we need to put it in a pot? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Whatever you think is best. And I'm thinking it didn't matter to me. It's whatever you think is best. I'm good. I'm cool with it. But for some reason he interpreted that because we weren't on the same communications or we weren't getting each other the right way. He wasn't understanding my thought process. That he's thinking I was being a little upset, like whatever, choose whatever you think is best, hurry up and get it done. So we didn't connect in that way. And when you're with somebody who automatically understands that you meant it the way you meant it, such as I'm happy with which way you decide, it's good with me. That's nice when you connect that way.
Now there's times where she's like, just hurry up and choose one and get on with it with me. But at least I understand that's what she means. You know, that's the difference.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that is connectivity and understanding your ways of communication. I mean, 100% of the time, everybody has misunderstandings, right? And everybody doesn't always understand. But for the most part, and what I heard from you, Emily, and I thought this was great, is that you are trusting and looking at the best, right? And I think that sometimes people can go into the worst or catastrophize or think that this person doesn't have the best interest, you know, their best interest at heart, or go into judgment mode, right? And when you live from that space, it creates that friction. A lot.
That's the optimism versus pessimism.
Right.
Which breeds jealousy and all those things that just crush connectivity.
Yeah. And, or a pattern for you realizing that when the trigger comes up, okay, that was my old way of thinking that felt comfortable. And I trust whatever's happening here. And I know that the best possible outcome will occur, right? And continuing to open up on that connectivity standpoint. So I love it. I love everything that you guys have brought up. These are some really great points as far as archetypes. And it may seem easy. It may seem like common sense. But if you're not feeling a lot of good connections when you're dating or relating with people or the opposite sex in general, then there's a common denominator there. That's you. And that can be shifted, guys. So that's a good thing. Is there anything else you guys want to add before we wrap this up? I know we're running a little low on time.
Based on what you just said, I'm getting some feedback. I can hear you.
I don't hear anything.
Yeah, there's a little bit. It might come up on the video.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm not getting feedback here.
Okay, yeah. It's still happening.
Soldier on. I'm just going to take this off.
Okay.
What I would add is that
everything you just talked about
in terms of being connectable.
I think we all know this stuff.
Because we watch enough media, we read enough books, we see a good number of romantic comedies, even TV commercials, for gosh sakes. We know what's attractive. We know what people who make friends and influence people look like. And we have examples in TV and movies and everywhere else of people who are unattractive. And yet so many people keep doing the unattractive things. And I think a lot of times that rests squarely on our fear of success. You know, we're afraid, oh, well, you know, what happens if I actually get someone? Then I have to have this relationship. Then I have to follow through.
And that comes from having to actually commit. So what you want comes to you, and is that what you really want, right?
And that's part of it. But I think also people lack self-esteem. People think they deserve to lose. They think they deserve to be punished. This person's too good to be true. All of these little demons start attacking us. And they keep us from really saying to ourselves, no, look, you know what? I deserve to participate in the human race and find love like everybody else. You know, I should, if I'm the person who is more connectable, like Scott and Emily have been talking about us, you know, if I start actually doing some of those things I know are attractive, that I know will allow me to connect to more people, I'm just going to trust that it'll work, because it has to. It does for everybody else.
Yeah, and if we can find what it is that what vibe we're giving out, what negative vibe is just eating away at our ability to connect with the opposite person, then we can crush it, you know, whether it be jealousy and our insecurities, then we need to crush it so that we can allow ourselves to open up and accept the ability to connect with people, to allow them to connect with us and for us to be able to accept them for who they are and be willing to let that happen. But it doesn't until you crush whatever is killing, whatever vibe we're getting out there. And if we don't kill it and crush it, we'll never get past it.
Sometimes we just need to get out of our own way.
So how does one kill it and crush it, right? Like, how does one get out of our own way?
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, a lot of times that's where having a great coach like you or us comes into play. We can help you find those blind spots. But I think when you see those patterns and you hear the same things over again, like, a lot of guys here, I think you're really a nice guy, but I'm just not feeling it for you. If you're hearing that over again, then what is it that you're not doing to create that sexual attraction? If you're going out on dates and people are going, yeah, that's fine, and then they don't ever answer your phone calls again, then you did something that they didn't feel comfortable addressing or even dealing with, which meant that they either felt like you were going to get aggressive with them if they mentioned it, or they just didn't find you trustworthy, or you were a little creepy. You read the patterns, and then you say, okay, now why would another human being react that way to someone? Why would I react that way to someone? A lot of times people are blamers. They go, oh, all these women, all they do is they say they had a good time, and then they never want to talk to me again. Women suck. No, you suck, dude. But you have to figure out why. You got to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
I had a guy come to me one time, and he goes, every time I even get 10 feet from a woman and I try to go talk to her, she waves me off in the rudest way and just tells me to get away from her. Women are horrible. And I was spellbound. I was like, I have never seen that happen to a guy. I've never had it happen to me since at least seventh grade when I deserved it.
Right.
And I take guys out in field all the time, and I've never had. So, I mean, yes, there's something profound happening there, but he was completely unwilling to take ownership of that scenario. I mean, assuming it was true and he wasn't being, you know, melodramatic about it. But, you know, that's the level to which this can descend. And then we can start blaming. And blaming isn't attractive and it doesn't solve anything.
It's like I mentioned earlier, the great thing about the denominator being us is we're in control of our own decisions and what we do. And that's empowering when you know that you can make a change and make your life be what you want it to be. I love that part.
Never understood all the marketing that says, if you're overweight or if you can't get women, it's not your fault. Well, what does that do for me? That makes me a victim.
Right. You know? Makes me helpless.
Makes me helpless. I want it to be my fault, damn it, so I can do something.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It's, yeah, instead of the projection or being the victim or feeling like you need to pretzel yourself into being what you think the opposite sex wants you.
Oh, God, no.
Which, it, you know, never works, ultimately. If it does in the beginning, it, you know, ends up, you're looking at that person in a relationship, maybe a year down the road, 6 months down the road, you're like, who is this person?
Authenticity is another pebble you can throw on the archetypal attraction trip.
Yeah, it's a big thing. And I mean, you guys, we could talk about authenticity for an hour. We could go into that's a whole nother conversation.
That's next year's summit.
Yeah, and what that, let's put that down. And what that is, what that looks like, and, you know, how to, because all of us are authentic, you know, our real authenticity, our true self is amazing. And if one person doesn't see that as a match, awesome. Next.
That's great. And someone else's wife.
Exactly. And you know, the same thing goes for anything else. It's like, you know, having great connectivity with people in general, being that kind of person. And we all know people that connect very easily all the time. And, you know, I think most of these women that are watching and listening to us today think, oh yeah, my friend Susie, you know, every time she gets out of a relationship, she dates with ease and gets into another relationship and it seems effortless. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with knowing oneself and being authentic and creating those connections. So
I think we ought to mention shyness. I think sometimes when people are socially fearful,
yeah,
that can camouflage a lot of these archetypal attraction traits that really are under there if the person would trust and believe. So shyness is something you want to work through because that can really just crater you in so many ways. It can stop before you even start.
It gives off the wrong message.
Well, of course. And then people just think you don't like them or that, you know, I have a term I call shyness-induced snobbery.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not going to give this person the benefit of knowing I'm attracted to them, so I'm going to ignore them and blow them off like a rusty muffler. That's a very real thing that a lot of guys feel. So, yeah, thank you for bringing that up because I think that's a very, very important surround to this conversation.
Shyness is a big thing. I remember when I was a young child, I was really shy. And I had the opportunity to break through that. And I feel it sometimes today, socially.
I think everybody does, if we're honest.
Of course. And, you know, and getting the opportunity to break through those things and having other people see you authentically is a beautiful thing. You know, because the right people appreciate that and appreciate you. And they're like, oh my goodness, I totally can identify. You know, I was speaking to a woman this weekend that was like, oh, I'm, you know, get anxiety being around big groups. But when I'm around smaller groups, it's so much easier one-on-one. And I'm like, oh, I totally understand that. And I've struggled with that my entire life, where some people might never think that about me, right? But
right.
It's having, you know, being able to connect authentically with people on those levels and also risking yourself to be vulnerable. Yes. So, yeah, you guys.
That's what we call deserving what you want, being your best authentic version of yourself. So the people you want to attract will also be attracted to you.
Right. And I know that a lot of people are painfully shy and you got to have sheer determination to overcome it. And, you know, I was like that as a teenager and I just didn't want to be there. And I have nothing but more than just determination. I wasn't going to let that rule me. And I encourage anyone who suffers from extreme shyness, let determination guide you for the time being until you can break through it.
And once you start, I mean, assuming it's not something clinical that you really need to see a therapist over, it's just, you know, shyness. First of all, you'll be surprised at how many people are shy just like you. You just don't see it because you're all wadded up in your own shyness. Second of all, shyness is one of those things that when you go kind of jump out of the airplane and hope the chute opens a few times and you see the positive results socially from other people, you're off and running. You know, yeah. It goes. I remember I used to be really intimidated by social situations, and I had a big intimidating guy come talk to me and said, why don't you just be assertive? Why don't you just tell people what you want? Because it just bothers people when you're real quiet and sheepish. We have to go, what? You know, and it just bothers people. So I started being more assertive the way he said it. I had to force myself to do it. And it worked. I mean, people just respect you more. They like you more. They're happier. You just spoke your mind and that we can all just get along. People are very, they don't find extreme shyness. They find it frustrating. You know, I've had guys come to me who are just painfully shy. And I've said, have you ever like gone somewhere like to order sandwiches at a Subway and people just start turning on you? They start getting a little upset and edgy with you. He's like, yeah, I just thought that was the city I lived in. I go, let's work on this and see if that changes. And sure enough, he reported that, you know, he didn't see that anymore after he learned how to speak up and be assertive and project. Because yeah, people are shy, and it makes you shyer to have people kind of bear down on you like right. That. Like, stop being so shy. What do you want? You know,
if you know the guy behind the Subway is like, you want a chicken Caesar wrap? Is that correct?
Right. It's irritating as hell. Yeah.
I think so. You know.
Come on, lady. You want it or don't you? Yeah. God help you if you're in Manhattan and you're trying to be that kind of shy.
Right, because they're like, come on, next, no suit for you, right?
Exactly.
I remember one time when I was a kid, it's like, okay, you ready to order? And I said, yeah, I think it was no, and he walked away.
Oh, that's right, I remember that.
So
that was when I was a kid, guys, but I think something similar happened.
In New York with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this all day long.
Yeah, we need to mercifully end this somewhere, yeah.
Thank you again for being here. And you guys, you know, I'd love to hear your biggest takeaways from our conversation today and how you're going to implement that into your life. Remember, there are ways to show up in your life in general. You know, if you think that the world is rude around you, start to shift, start to become present. And look and see what's going on. Maybe you get to be a bit more assertive, open, smiling, and see what kind of results that creates. I appreciate each and every one of you for being here, watching, and listening to us. And you guys can go ahead and click over on Scott and Emily's page where they have a fabulous, generous gift for you that you can access here. And I'm sending love and a big, huge thank you to you guys. I'm sure there are many aha moments that have been, you know, seen and felt during our conversation and you know, helping all of these women to really create the kind of partnership and connectivity that they deeply desire. So thanks again, and thanks everyone for being here. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.